No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Andrew Skousen, and we're going to be going over the World Affairs Brief Report put out by Andrew's dad, looking at the issues that are facing America and the world today. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you, as always.
Yeah, well, good to have you with us. You pick up the story.
All right. Well, the top story this week in the brief is about how the feds are purposely making life difficult over the shutdown. The list of vindictive federal closures is growing longer, and a pattern is emerging. The Obama administration is restoring military-related contracts with federal, but going out of their way to antagonize any individual that has even an ancillary connection with federal lands or parks. It's no secret that during the 1995 government shutdown, the Clinton administration tried to inconvenience the general public in order to bring pressure on Republicans. But this administration is pushing things even further by taking it out on the little guy and resisting any attempt by Congress or volunteers to ameliorate the shutdown, and it has even refused offers of help to individuals or small businesses that have been kept from working. It's as if they want this experience to be as nasty as possible. Still, the blame is being squarely laid on the government, not Congress, although you'd never know that from listening to the media. Joel says, as I pointed out last week, the Pentagon shut down a lot of core military contractors by furloughing civilian workers. In today's military, nothing runs without civilian contractors. Those furloughs only lasted a couple of days before Obama ordered them all back to work. But no such leniency was granted to ordinary people whose livelihood is connected with federal lands, parks, or bureaucratic permissions. Wes Pruden, former editor of the Washington Times, pulled out his pen again to document some of the outrageous actions of the administration. He says, quote, "The Park Service appeared to be closing streets on mere whim and caprice. The Rangers even closed the parking lot at Mount Vernon, where the plantation home of George Washington is a favorite tourist destination. That was after they barred the new World War II memorial on the mall to veterans of World War II. But the government does not own Mount Vernon. It is privately owned by the Mount Vernon Ladies Association. The ladies bought it years ago to preserve it as a national memorial. The feds closed access to the parking lot this week, even though the lots are jointly owned with the Mount Vernon ladies. Quote, it's a cheap way to deal with the situation, an angry Park Service ranger in Washington says of the harassment. We've been told to make life as difficult as possible for people as we can. It's disgusting, he says. Joel says, What's even more troubling is why none of the Republican leadership has gotten a hold of Putin to ask who made the statement. Can you imagine the public relations disaster this would be for the administration if the Republicans would put this guy on the witness stand and force him to reveal who gave the orders to make life difficult for the people? Perhaps House Speaker Boehner isn't really there to win this battle. There are many stories of public outrage that I could cite, Joel says, but few are as egregious as what a few seniors experienced while on a tour bus going through the Yellowstone National Park. John McCone has the story with added commentary. Quote, Pat Villancourt went on a trip last week that was intended to showcase some of America's greatest treasures. Instead, the Salisbury resident said she and others on her tour bus witnessed an ugly spectacle that made her embarrassed, angry, and heartbroken for her country. Rangers systematically sent visitors out of the park, though some groups that had hotel reservations, such as Villancourt's, were allowed to stay for 2 days. Those 2 days started out on a sour note, she said. The bus had stopped along a road where a large herd of bison passed nearby, and seniors filed out to take photos. Almost immediately, an armed ranger came by and ordered them to get back in, saying they couldn't recreate. The tour guide, who had paid a $300 fee the day before to bring the group into the park, argued that the seniors weren't recreating, just taking photos. She responded and said, "Sir, you are recreating," and her tone became very aggressive, Villancourt said. Villancourt was one of thousands of people who found themselves in a national park as the government's federal shutdown went into effect on October 1st. For many hours, her tour group, which included senior citizen visitors from Japan, Australia, Canada, and the United States, were locked in a Yellowstone National Park hotel under armed guard. The tourists were treated harshly by armed park employees, she said, so much so that some of the foreign tourists with limited English skills thought they were under arrest. When finally allowed to leave, the bus was not allowed to halt at all along the 2.5-hour trip out of the park, not even to stop at private bathrooms that were open along the route. It was like they brought out the armed forces. No one was saying, "We're sorry." It was all like, as she clenched her fist and banged it into her forearm, they looked like Hulk Hogan's armed. They told us, "You can't go outside," she said. Some of the Asians who were on the tour said, "Oh my goodness, are we under arrest?" They felt like they were criminals. Barricades were erected around Old Faithful, and the seniors were locked inside the hotel, where armed rangers stayed at the door. The bus trip made headlines in Livingston, where the local newspaper, Livingston Enterprise, interviewed the tour guide, Gordon Hodgson, who accused the Park Service of Gestapo tactics. "A lot of people who were foreign said they wouldn't come back to America," she said. End quote. Some Western state governors have tried to get the feds to let them help to keep the parks open, but the answer is always no. Last week, when World War II veterans broke down the yellow tape closing off the World War II memorial, the government responded by bringing in more sturdy wire barricades and guards were posted. How is that supposed to save money at monuments who had no guards or employees prior to the shutdown? John Nolte documents this and other cases of the Obama administration unnecessarily inflicting public pain during the shutdown. Quote, "While our president still enjoys his essential employees and locations, the White House chefs, Camp David, and a military golf course, there doesn't seem to be any question that in mercenary pursuit of a political win, this White House is determined to unreasonably punish as many everyday people as possible. And this includes children sick with cancer." That might sound like hyperbole, but it's not. The program at the National Institutes of Health, which offers last-chance experimental cancer treatments for children suffering from cancer, also got the axe. Republicans in Congress refused to fund the NIH program separately, but the White House has threatened a veto. Nolte also says, "The media may or may not report on these individual occurrences, but what they will do, what they will never do, is provide the American people with the full context and scope of Obama's shrill pettiness. Below is a list of illogical, unnecessary, and shockingly spiteful moves our government is making in the name of essential and non-essential." Joel says, by the way, I've omitted the ones that I reported on previously. Nolte says, "The Republican National Committee has offered to cover any costs required to keep the World War II memorial open. The White House refused. Moreover, like the NIH, the GOP will pass a compromise bill that will fund America's national parks." But Obama,
hold up, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Andrew, you go right ahead. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. So the Vietnam Memorial and Iwo Jima Memorial were also closed, with barricades erected, even though these were never manned. Furloughed military chaplains not allowed to work for free. Furloughed military chaplains willing to celebrate mass and baptisms for free have been told they will be punished for doing so. Business stops in Florida Keys. Small businesses, hunters, and commercial fishermen can't practice their trade. While the feds have deemed the personnel necessary to keep this area open non-essential, the enforcement officers to ensure no business is done are essential. Obama forces residents out of private homes. The government shutdown is being felt close to home for some locals. They say they are being forced out of private homes on Lake Mead because they sit on federal land. Obama shuts down a road that goes through the Colorado Park. The Forest Service announcement, in turn, led the Pitkin County Commissioners to order that Maroon Creek Road be shut down at the height of the colorful leaf-changing season. Obama blocks people from looking at Mount Rushmore. Blocking access to trails and programs at South Dakota's most popular attraction was one thing. But state officials didn't expect Congress's budget stalemate to shut down a view of Mount Rushmore. The National Park Service placed cones along highway viewing areas outside Mount Rushmore this week, barring visitors from pulling over and taking pictures of the famed monument. Joel notes, similarly, State Route 9 in Utah, a critical road that passes right through the great beauty of Zion's National Park, had to be left open, but park police are ticketing people who get out of their cars to view the scenery. Crucial USDA websites taken down. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has turned off its entire website in response to the government shutdown, leaving farmers, reporters, and others with no way to access any of the agency's information online. Joel comments, as if it costs anything to leave up the website. USDA's total website shutdown goes far beyond the response of other federal agencies and seems to be part of an effort to make people feel the effects of the shutdown. This website is down, and yet the Obamacare and White House websites are still up. Arizona offers to fund the Grand Canyon. Obama says, drop dead. Obama has ordered the Grand Canyon to stay closed, even after the state of Arizona and local businesses have offered to cover the cost necessary to keep it open. In other words, the shutdown isn't about the money. It's about hurting the American people just because he can. Joel comments, in today's news, Obama agreed to let some states fund the parks to keep them open, but he's not letting them use what the federal government takes in entrance fees. Amber Alert website taken offline. CNN reported that bad press was a factor in the site going back up. Federal prison guards not getting paid, inmates are. Most of the employees at the federal prison in Forest City are working without knowing when they will get a paycheck because of the government shutdown. But some of the inmates who get paid for the work they do inside will have no problem collecting their money. King crab season threatened by government shutdown. The Alaska king crab season is set to start soon, but all the fishing boats will have to stay docked because the government must sign off on permits and quotas. Fishermen stand to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars unless lawmakers make a compromise. Obama's golf course is open. So is the website for Michelle's Obama's Let's Move. Columbia Island and Washington Sailing Marina closed. Email from reader. My husband received an email from Washington State Mutual saying that, or WSM, saying that boat owners could only go to their boats to remove items. If they leave the slip with their boat, they are not allowed to return to their paid-for slip until the government reopens. IRS collections is operational. Taxpayer Advocate Office, closed. 1,100 square miles of Florida ocean closed. In this email, quote, you omitted the ban on Florida charter boat captains taking fishermen on a 1,100 square mile section of ocean off the coast of Tampa. Apparently, government resources patrol it. Shutdown denies death benefits to families of fallen soldiers. The families of five U.S. service members who were killed over the weekend in Afghanistan have been notified that they won't be receiving the $100,000 benefit normally wired to relatives within 36 hours of the death. The quote-unquote death gratuity is intended to help cover funeral costs and help with immediate living expenses until survivor benefits typically begin. End of the prudent quote. Well, where do we go from here? The GOP-led House of Representatives has offered concessions to ameliorate the damage of the selective shutdown. They passed a resolution ensuring that all furloughed employees would get back pay for the time they were furloughed. Joel says, I hope that also applies to the FAA maintenance personnel who are still working but not getting paid. They keep the electronics and navigation systems running so the air traffic control systems still function. Obviously, these are essential personnel whose pay should never have been cut. As for the rest of the furloughed federal employees, many of their jobs should be eliminated. And Congress just undid any savings the partial shutdown afforded by offering to pay all back wages. That's like saying we are implementing a balanced budget amendment, but offering to pay the wages of everyone whose job must be eliminated. Nonsense. As there's some more recent news as well, the Republicans are giving in to the debt ceiling crisis with a temporary extension of 6 weeks. Incredibly, this is simply a bone to throw at Obama in exchange for his willingness to negotiate. Joel says, I smell a sellout. Michael Lotze has the story. Quote, GOP House leadership just finished a press conference where they announced they will allow the debt ceiling to be increased for the next 6 weeks. Kathy McMorris Rogers, a Republican from Washington, Republican conference chair, provided opening statements. We're going to offer legislation that will allow a temporary increase in the debt ceiling that will allow us time to continue this conversation on the shutdown, says Rogers. Joel inserts, this is a bit confusing because the debt ceiling is a fixed monetary limit and has nothing to do with time. I fail to see how 6 weeks has anything to do with changing the limit or postponing it. It can't provide more money for the government without authorizing an increase in the limit. As with most things in Washington, all of this is probably just a verbal sleight of hand. Continuing with the Lotze quote, Eric Cantor, House Majority Leader, says the debt ceiling increase is only temporary and is in exchange for President Obama's and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's willingness to negotiate. Cantor says that he is thankful that the president is finally willing to sit down and talk. Question is now whether or not the president and Democrats will actually negotiate. If history is to replay itself, then the answer is most likely no. As the White House has played this card before, Democratic leadership simply refuses to negotiate once they have had all their demands answered. End quote. It's hard to believe that the Republicans would even pull such a worthless stunt without any firm concessions from the Democrats. They've gained nothing by this move except kick the can down the road. It won't stop the partial shutdown, and it won't help the nation take the resolve to stop raising the debt limit. If 1 6-week postponement is good, why not another? The offer didn't initially do any good either, as Obama and the 20 Republicans who went to the White House couldn't agree. As the New York Times noted, quote, President Obama and House Republicans failed to reach agreement on a six-week extension of the nation's borrowing authority during a meeting Thursday at the White House. But the two sides kept talking, and the offer from politically besieged Republicans, Joel says, notice how they always say the Republicans are in trouble, was seen as a step toward ending the budget standoff. People familiar with the meeting said that Mr. Obama pressed Republicans to reopen the government and that Republicans raised the possibility that financing could be restored by early next week if terms for broad budget negotiations could be reached, fine-tuning their proposal to increase the Treasury Department's authority to borrow money to pay existing obligations through November 22nd, end quote. The media keeps repeating the old claim that enforcing the debt limit threatens a default on U.S. securities. It doesn't. The government has money to pay the interest on the debt, which is still less than a third of total tax revenues. But while Treasury Secretary Jack Lew sought to stabilize markets by saying breaching the debt limit does not mean the U.S. will default, he tried to still apply a bit of fear-mongering by saying he quote-unquote couldn't guarantee that all payments, including Social Security and interest payments, would be made. He cited the irregular flow of tax funds coming to government as evidence. The Washington Post promoted the government line, quote, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew plans to warn lawmakers Thursday that he will be unable to guarantee payments to any group, whether Social Security recipients or U.S. bondholders, unless Congress approves an increase in the federal debt limit, end quote. What the Post doesn't mention is that whenever the Fed wants to create money to bail out banks or make more QE3 injections into the bond markets, it simply does so. So why all the fuss about debt limits when the Fed disregards them anyway? I'm not suggesting that this is proper, because it isn't. But I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of the government claims of being out of options. Moving on to the next story, Dr. Stan, is about the truck march on Washington, which shows some bad tactics. Joel says, I don't know who's doing the planning behind this move to get thousands of truckers onto the Washington Beltway and cause gridlock in Washington, but they're not very smart. The Beltway, I-495, is in near gridlock most of the day anyway, and blocking two out of three lanes is going to cause more damage to the public than to the government. Infowars.com found out from a quote-unquote conservative group that sources within the Department of Transportation have, quote, admitted that the Feds plan to order armed National Guard troops to close Washington, D.C.'s Interstate Route 495 tomorrow in order to derail a mass protest and potential blockade being organized by a group called Truckers Ride for the Constitution, end quote. Joel says, I'm not sure that's going to happen either, as that would certainly not help the Beltway commuters to have an even larger than normal traffic jam for 3 days. Quote, continuing from the InfoWorks quote, according to Glenn Ritt, the plan to close the route that circles the nation's capital will be implemented on Friday morning with the aid of armed National Guard troops from Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, who will use trucks, jeeps, and armed vehicles to block traffic entering the Beltway. These sources at the Department of Transportation have advised off the record that the DOT proposal included the confident belief that the Capitol Beltway shutdown will successfully achieve the twin goals of thwarting the trucker protest scheduled for a three-day period starting on Friday, as well as deal another punishing blow to what they called the crazy wing of the GOP, which refuses to capitulate to the demands to approve a budget that includes Obamacare funding, writes Ritt. Joel says, while they certainly want to highlight their claim of right-wing crazies, the government would look very bad halting a few thousand trucks and forcing them onto the jammed secondary roads around Washington. A separate Million Vet March will also take place in D.C. on Sunday morning at the site of the World War II Memorial, which was barricaded and wired shut by the Feds earlier this week. Also in news today, Monsanto Protection Act was killed in Congress. The state of Oregon has passed legislation recently favoring Monsanto, prohibiting local governments from regulating seeds in any way. But the uprising against the predatory habits of the giant GMO seed company is growing so strong that mainstream politicians in Washington are afraid to openly support Monsanto. And recently a provision favoring GMO seed producers like Monsanto was struck from federal legislation. Connor Adam Sheets has the story from the IB Times. Quote, the so-called Monsanto Protection Act has been removed from the Senate spending bill to the delight of those opposed to the controversial provision. The provision would have stayed on the books under a continuing resolution passed by the House of Representatives last week, but U.S. Senators Barbara Mikulski and Jeff Merkley led a successful charge to have the language removed from the Senate version of the bill. Joel inserts, this is a welcome change, Section 735 of the House Resolution 933 was originally passed in March and created ire in the natural food movements because it strips federal courts of the authority to halt the sale and propagation of genetically modified seeds, even when safety tests reveal concerns about their safety. Government keeps evading the issue of safety concerns surrounding GMO foods. Senator Roy Blunt, a Republican from Missouri, was the Monsanto man in Congress who wrote the original language, and he's hated among the movement working to preserve consumer choice. People at least want to have all GMO food ingredients labeled so we can boycott their products. But Monsanto keeps pouring millions into the campaign to stop GMO labeling, as it did recently in California. Continuing with the IB Times quote, outrage at the existence of the Monsanto Protection Act was intense even before the bill containing it was passed. In the days leading up to it being signed by President Barack Obama, more than 250,000 voters signed a petition asking him to veto the bill. And Food Democracy Now! Protesters, organized by the Food Democracy Now! Advocacy Group, demonstrated against it in front of the White House. The furor over the Monsanto Protection Act and GMOs reached fever pitch in May, when hundreds of thousands of people participated in a global protest known as the March Against Monsanto. The company was even named 2013's Most Evil Corporation in a June poll, which was likely in large part a response to the controversy over the provision. Mikulski's amendment was not the first one aimed at repealing the Monsanto Protection Act. Senator Jeff Merkley introduced a similar amendment near the height of the controversy in May, but it was not adopted. Joel says, but these two aren't real champions of honest
food. Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi, and Lafayette reminds listeners that many accidents are the result of drivers on their cell phones. Cell phone usage while driving is quickly becoming a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone use is a major distraction. Do your part. Keep our streets safe. This community awareness message is brought to you by our friends at Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi. Proud to be serving our community. That's Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi at 1751 Panorama Point in Lafayette. Call 303-444-0488. POWMIA Radio is celebrating its 20th anniversary of broadcasting on KHNC. The show was born in a discussion between station owner and manager Don Wiedemann and veteran Darwin Rutz in September of 1993. The focus of the show was then, is now, and always will be the American prisoner of war and the missing in action. We want to thank the entire family of the American Freedom Network for their generous support of this program. Also, we could not be as successful without our sponsors, researchers, guests, and most of all, you, the loyal listeners. God bless, and thank you.
Did you call an 800 or an 888 number for a free report on gold and silver from people who claim they make no money? Did you get stuck with a bunch of foreign coins that you can't pronounce? Do you have rare coins that nobody can possibly value, or worse yet, rare coins from a sunken ship? Do you find out they really did make money on you? Are you getting called constantly by telemarketers to buy more or trade every day? Then most likely you've already lost a lot of money. Even if gold doubles or triples from here, you will still lose money. We can help. It's not too late to get your holdings into American products and still take advantage of major market moves. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. No hassle, no hype, no bait and switch, and no complaints. After two decades of service, we're still here for you. Call 1-800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, covering the World Affairs Brief. Andrew, would you like to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief from your dad and how they can get the book that your father has?
Certainly. Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way is for people to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can find an easy button and link to sign up for the World Affairs Brief. There's a modest fee for each year's subscription. There they can also find a link to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has listings and descriptions of all of our books. The most popular of which is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which helps people choose a path for them specifically about how to get to a more strategic place in their life, how to reorganize their life or provide a contingency plan for a more secure retreat, whether that involves getting together with relatives in a more secure place or pooling resources with other people or making a move if they have that flexibility. Once they find a secure place, they'll probably want to get one of our other two major selling books, The Secure Home, which is the largest book, sort of the encyclopedia of all scouts and knowledge about securing a residence and property for hard times. It includes everything from secure storage shelters and as well as alternate energy equipment and how to put it all together. For people just wanting to do a smaller scale project, such as a single room in their basement, they should get the High Security Shelter. Our most recently updated book is a smaller book that details how to even construct yourself, complete with plans, a high security room, and how to outfit it with the basic things that you need, as well as a basic alternate energy system to keep it going in hard times. And all of these are also available through you at Radio Liberty. Is that right, Dr. Stan? Well, it's true, and you can definitely get that from Dr. Stan. Continuing with the brief today is I just want to comment one last thing on the Monsanto Protection Act, which was repealed through a provision by Senator Jeff Merkley as well as Barbara Mikulski. But one last point is that the Center for Food Safety blamed Mikulski previously for allowing the provision to make it into a continuing resolution via a hidden backroom deal back in March. In this hidden backroom deal, Senator Barbara Mikulski turned her back on consumer, environmental, and farmer protection in favor of corporate welfare for biotech companies such as Monsanto, said Andrew Kimball, executive director of the Center for Food Safety, end quote. So we just want to make sure that even though Mikulski's amendment helped take away the Monsanto Protection Act, she is not necessarily on our side. All of the leaders in Congress are unprincipled and often lie to make the shifting political trend, or to match the shifting political trend. Well, and the next story on the brief today is Syria Today. While the pause in the warmongering plans of the globalists has been temporarily halted, including the ousting of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, it won't last. The lull is allowing the Syrian military to go after the ragtag jihadists with increasing effectiveness. At some point, however, the U.S. and NATO will have to find a way to intervene again if they are going to save the violent guerrillas they have hired from destruction. This week, Joel says, I ran into an extremely biased piece by Der Spiegel of Germany. They sent a team of verbal saboteurs into Damascus to interview President Assad. The globalists keep trying to defame him, but he's proved a resilient opponent. Even Der Spiegel had to admit he lacks the tyrant image, saying at the beginning of the article, quote, Assad, a doctor, completed postgraduate training in ophthalmology in London and speaks perfect English. He joined the army after returning to Syria, where many underestimated him because he was so mild-mannered. A member of the Alawite minority, he succeeded his father, Hafez Assad, and has now been in office for 13 years. Joel says, the title of his front page interview was, How Can You Live With This Guilt, Mr. Assad? As if he were guilty even before people could decide for themselves in the interview. However, as you read the interview, it becomes obvious that it is the interviewers who were guilty of extreme prejudice, not Assad. Their bias is obvious from the very first, and Assad acquitted himself extremely well throughout, parrying and blocking each false charge and innuendo. Der Spiegel's introduction was fair enough, as they found overwhelming opposition to the Western-backed jihadists threatening Damascus. Der Spiegel had to admit the Syrians were only trying to preserve their way of life. This from the article, quote, During dinners with politicians and professors, or in conversations in the narrow streets of the old city, everyone, without exception, expressed fear of the rebels. They worry that the rebels will be accompanied by fundamentalists who will bring with them Sharia law. All the people we spoke with said that they distrust the West because the reasoning there is too simplistic. Countries there set moral standards they fail to live up to themselves. And most said that while they don't support Assad, they want to preserve their way of life. Just look at what's happening in Egypt and Libya, said one man. Joel says, when the actual interview starts, it's very obvious these guys are on a mission to destroy Assad, as they start out with a benign-appearing trick question. Here's the series of questions, question and answer. Answers. Spiegel. Mr. President, do you love your country? Assad. That is a simple, evident question, of course. But it's not just a question of the emotional relationship. It's also about you as a person, or what you as a person can do for your home, especially when you are in a position of authority. That becomes especially clear in times of crisis. Spiegel. Joel says, here comes the second part of that leading question. If you were a true patriot, you would step down and pave the way for negotiations for an interim government or a ceasefire with the armed opposition. Assad said, that is not a question any other party can decide. Who are these factors? Who do they represent? The Syrian people? At least part of the Syrian people? If they do, then let's go to the ballot box. Spiegel, are you prepared to stand in an election? Assad, my second term in office will end next August. If I no longer know that I have the will of the people behind me, then I will not run. It's not only my country. Spiegel. But you are the reason for the rebellion. Joel says, look how they aren't even trying to be neutral. The people want to get rid of corruption and despotism. They're calling for a real democracy, and the opposition believes this will only be possible if you step down. Assad. Again, you talk about factions. Whether they are opposition or supporters, you have to ask yourself the question, whom do they represent? Themselves or the country that made sent them? Are they speaking for the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar? This conflict has been brought to our country from abroad. These people are located abroad. They live in five-star hotels, and they say and do what those countries tell them to do. Spiegel. Do you dispute that there's a strong opposition against you in your country? Assad. That's normal. If I don't have opposition, it means all the people support me, and that's impossible. Spiegel. But we aren't the only ones who are disputing your legitimacy. A leader who slaughtered his citizens and gassed children to death cannot retain the legitimacy to lead a badly fractured country, U.S. President Obama said at the United Nations General Assembly at the end of September. Assad. He doesn't have the right to tell the Syrian people who their president will be. Second, what he says doesn't have anything to do with reality.
Hold on, we'll be back in a moment with Andrew Skousen.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! POWMIA Radio is celebrating its 20th anniversary of broadcasting on KHNC. The show was born in a discussion between station owner and manager Don Wiedemann and veteran Darwin Rutz in September of 1993. The focus of the show was then, is now, and always will be the American prisoner of war, and the missing in action. We want to thank the entire family of the American Freedom Network for their generous support of this program. Also, we could not be as successful without our sponsors, researchers, guests, and most of all, you, the loyal listeners. God bless, and thank you.
El Dorado Mexican Grill encourages parents to add to your child's education with proper information about drug abuse, drug use, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, doesn't it make you wonder who is? That's from El Dorado Mexican Grill. Community integrity is what keeps our area strong, and they're proud to be working with this station to keep the spirit going. That's El Dorado Mexican Grill at 18984 County Road 51 in LaSalle. Fonta's Pizza and Restaurant in Greeley salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our freedom. Let's remember them by continuing to donate blood for our returning injured military. Be a silent hero and give blood today. It could save a soldier. This is a reminder from Fonta's Pizza and Restaurant in Greeley. For great pizza and even better service, stop by 2400 8th Avenue or call 970-356-9200. That's 356-9200.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, last segment, Andrew Skelton. Andrew, go ahead. Let's finish up the World Affairs Brief report for this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're going through an interesting back and forth between Der Spiegel, German reporters, and Bashar al-Assad, Syria. It's a very interesting, frank conversation. These are the questions from Spiegel and Assad's answers. Spiegel, from my point of view, it looks like you are the one who is ignoring reality. If you step down, you would spare your people a lot of suffering. Assad, what do killing innocents, explosions, and the terrorism that al-Qaeda is bringing to the country have to do with me being in office? Joel says, this is a good answer, pointing to al-Qaeda for the greater blame. Spiegel, it has to do with the president because your troops and intelligence services are responsible for a part of these horrors. Joel notes, in the previous question, they implied it was all his fault. Now they're having to be more careful and say partly at fault. Continuing, that is your responsibility. Assad, our decision from the very beginning was to respond to the demands of the demonstrators, although they were not truly peaceful demonstrations from the start. Joel inserts, they were armed and shot at police. We already lost soldiers and policemen during the first week. Nevertheless, a committee changed the constitution to reflect the protesters' concerns, and later there was a referendum. But we also have to fight terrorism to defend our country. I admit that mistakes were made during the implementation of this decision. Joel says, and mistakes are still being made. Even though Assad is a decent person, it seems, he inherited a country full of corrupt police and military, which is difficult to remedy. Fortunately, the worst of them seem to be defecting to the opposition, where they are carrying out their work of death. Continuing, Spiegel says, the victims in the first protest in Daraa, where the insurgency began, were largely protesters who were beaten and shot. This harshness was a mistake on the part of your regime. Assad says, in every implementation in the world, you have mistakes. You are human. Spiegel, so you admit that the harshness against the protesters was a mistake? Assad, there were personal mistakes made by individuals. We all make mistakes. Even the president makes mistakes. But even if there were mistakes in the implementation, our decisions were still fundamentally the right ones. Spiegel. Was massacre at Hula only the result of the failure of individuals? Assad. It was the gang and militants who attacked the village residents, never the government or its supporters. That's exactly what happened. And if you talk about proof, no one has proof against this. Actually, what happened was that our supporters are the ones who were killed, and we can give you the names of the victims' families because they supported our course against terror. Joel says, this is a strong rebuttal, daring them to provide counterproof. Spiegel, we have plenty of evidence. Our reporters were in Hula. Joel inserts, and they were likely no more unbiased than these interviewers. Continuing Spiegel, where they conducted in-depth research and spoke to survivors and relatives of the victims. UN experts have also come to the conclusion that the 108 village residents who were killed, including 49 children and 34 women, were the victims of your regime. Joel says, note that even the UN report shows a minority were victims of the military, and much of that can be blamed on guerrillas fighting among the civilians, so they become unwitting victims. Der Spiegel. So how can you deny any responsibility and blame the so-called terrorists? Assad. With all due respect to your report, we are the Syrians. We live here, and we know the reality better than your reporters. We know what is true, and we can document it. Spiegel. The perpetrators are part of Shabia, a militia that is close to your regime. Assad. Let me be frank with you. Your question is full of misstatements. However you put it, in the end, a lie is a lie. So what you say is not correct. Spiegel. So you deny that the Shabia militia was involved? Assad, what do you mean by Shabia? Spiegel, this militia, the quote-unquote ghosts, who are close to your regime. Assad, this is a Turkish name. There is nothing called Shabia in Syria. In many remote areas where there is no possibility for the army and police to go and rescue the people and defend them, people have bought arms and set up their own small forces to defend themselves against attacks by militants. Some of them have fought with the army, that's true. But they are not militias that have been created to support the president. At issue is their country, which they want to defend from Al-Qaeda. Spiegel. A president's legitimacy is not a question of phrases and declarations. You are measured by your deeds. Through the deployment of chemical weapons against your own people, you have definitively lost the legitimacy to hold your office. Assad. We did not use chemical weapons. This is a misstatement. So is the picture you paint of me as a man who kills his own people. Who isn't against me? You've got the United States, the West, the richest countries in the Arab world, and Turkey. All this, and I am killing my people, and they still support me? Am I a Superman? No. So how can I still stay in power after 2.5 years? Because a big part of the Syrian people support me, the government and the state. Whether that figure is greater or less than 50%, I am not saying that it is the bigger part of our population, but a big part means that you are legitimate. That is very simple. And where is another leader who would be similarly legitimate? Spiegel. President Obama said after the investigation into this crime by the United Nations that there was, quote-unquote, no doubt that your regime used chemical weapons on August 21st in an attack that killed more than 1,000 people. Assad. Once again, I dare Obama to give a single piece of evidence, a single shred. The only thing he has is lies. Joel says this is true, and the U.S. has not presented any credible evidence. Spiegel. But the conclusions of the UN inspectors? Assad, what conclusions? When the inspectors came to Syria, we asked them to continue the investigation. We are hoping for an explanation of who is responsible for this act. Spiegel. Based on the trajectory of the rockets, it is possible to calculate where they were fired from, namely the positions of your 4th Division. Assad. That doesn't prove anything, because the terrorists could be anywhere. You can find them in Damascus now. They could even launch a missile from near my house. Spiegel. But your opponents are not capable of firing weapons containing sarin. That requires military equipment, training, and precision. Assad. Who said that they are not capable? In the 1990s, terrorists used sarin gas in an attack in Tokyo. They called it quote-unquote kitchen gas because it can be made anywhere. Spiegel. But you really can't compare these two sarin attacks. They aren't comparable. This was a military action. Assad. No one can say with certainty that rockets were used. We do not have any evidence. The only thing certain is that sarin was released. Perhaps that happened when one of our rockets struck one of the terrorist positions. Or perhaps they made an error while they were handling it and something happened, because they have sarin. They used it earlier in Aleppo. Spiegel. In total, 14 instances in which chemical weapons were used have been detected. But never before were they used on the massive scale as they were in August. Have you actually started your own investigation? Assad. Any investigation should begin with the identifying the number of the real victims. The militant said 350 victims. The U.S. said 1,200.
We're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, Andrew. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Andrew Skousen. First of all, you must understand that this whole government shutdown is an effort to simply justify continuing to spend us into oblivion. You cannot keep spending more money than you're taking in indefinitely. Since all the money we use is debt money, it's issued by the banks, not by the government. The government has to pay interest to the banks, which are part of a conspiracy to bring about a world government. There are six major banks in America, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo control over 50% of all of our assets, financial assets. They're dedicated to world government. They issue the money. The federal government doesn't issue our money. The banks create the money, and certainly we have paper bills, but that's a very small part of the actual money that's out there in circulation, and that money is issued by banks. It's electronic, and we have to pay the banks interest on all that money, and eventually, as we have more and more and more debt, why, of course, all the money that the government takes in goes to pay interest on the debt, and the whole system collapses, and we go into the world government. Because there is a conspiracy to bring about a world government and to destroy the infrastructure of this nation. And with it, everything that you've worked your whole life for, your pension, your annuities, will be lost when they destroy our monetary system. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And then, of course, as far as what's going on with the terrorists is concerned, we are backing Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood with one hand, and fighting it with the other. We're fighting Afghanistan we're fighting Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood in Afghanistan. We're funding Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya and in Tibia. We actually funded the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Now we're fighting it. We're funding and fighting Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria. And people don't understand this. Well, it's the same thing we did in Germany. We're all during this World War II, why American banks and corporations funded the Nazis. And if you doubt that, you need to get the book, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. None of the major publishing houses would publish it, but Tryon Day did, and we carry the book. Loftus had a security clearance three levels above top secret, and he points out how 10 American banks and American corporations helped the Nazis before the war and during the war, and helped the Nazis to escape to South America after the war. We have a four CD set. You